Hey, this is Kenyon Drake. You're listening to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
He's dead. He's gone. It's just you and me, Mike.
Oh, I thought there was a...
That was my Daniel Jones intro, baby.
Yeah.
That was my Daniel Jones.
The stumble.
Welcome in.
What if I mean, that the play has to get named. Like this the
oh.
The rumble stumble?
Rumble bumble. I mean, spectacular television.
Yes.
The game, the NFC East, all of it personified in one incredible play. Right before the show, we were reflecting on Daniel Jones' incredible run. Joe Buck screaming, "He's gone!"
Because he was. He was gone.
And then he wasn't. And what did you say? You said next-gen stats put Daniel Jones how fast?
They clocked it. I don't have the number right in front of me. We can try and find it. But the point was, Daniel Jones was running so fast, he was just a fraction under Tyreek Hill's fastest speed of this year. He was running like 21 miles an hour. Daniel freaking Jones was loose. He ran. Clearly, he's never run that fast before in his life.
Did you see his face? His face was like, he no longer had control of his body. His body was running him, and he did not know what to do. And he did not make it.
No, he did not make it. That was personally painful for me. I played Daniel Jones in our Dynasty League.
Oh, my.
Much to my chagrin. So that was...
What is that, another 15 yards, a touchdown, and the bonus?
Yes. So that was massive points that we missed, or that I missed out on, I'm sure.
Were you counting on the old 85-yard touchdown run from the quarterback?
No, I certainly was not. But I had to let it go. I didn't get mad. That was the funniest thing I have seen in a really long time. Thank you, Daniel Jones. The entire New York Giants sideline appreciated it. They all laughed. Daniel Jones did not think it was very funny,
though.
That
game last night was what the NFC East promised us. It was a game where it really seemed like neither team could win. And even when finally it seemed like one was going to win, they didn't. It was incredible.
Ended on a Daniel Fumble Jones fumble. Yeah, it was a football game.
Yes.
And the Eagles came out on top by a point.
And Boston Scott came through in the final 40 seconds. So if you played him, you were very happy. If you saw him on your opponent's roster, as Jason did,
mm-hmm.
You're very frustrating.
And what's funny is I was happy for the majority of the game. I mean, they're using three running backs. He's not looking great. And then at the very end of the game, I'm like, oh, no, he put up a ton of points.
I think you need a different word than majority, because – there was 40 seconds left in the game. That is...
You win some, you lose some. I lost that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was... And DeSean Jackson hurt again. Oh. He gets hurt in every game he plays, and he's going to be out multiple weeks. Travis Fulgham looked great again, in my opinion.
And he's a real deal.
He is. He seems to be. And the thing is whether he is or not, Carson Wentz throws him the football. He targets him.
I had a memory that was not real.
Okay.
Of
all right.
Me picking him up in Dynasty. And I was so excited. And I went and I looked at my roster. I was like, I, in fact, did not do that. I thought
is that a dream? Did you have a dream?
No, I just.
Were you awake?
It's like a Blade Runner situation.
I thought I had picked him up and I was very happy. And
who
then
got
I went
him
to
in
go,
Dynasty?
I'm not going to answer that question.
I spent all my fab on him after that breakout performance. But. Yeah, it was entertaining.
We also saw what happens to Carson Wentz when he has a tight end one playing for him.
Oh, my.
Who led the team in receiving, by the way. 6 for 85 for Richard Rodgers. If you had the courage to trust the process of that Carson Wentz throws to the tight end position, you should be very happy. And Richard Rodgers is going to be a hot pickup.
That's what I was going to ask you. Hot. For the next few weeks, we think Goddard will come back when?
Week 10.
Week 10?
Yeah, they're saying week 10, but Who knows?
All right. Yeah, it was interesting. It is Friday.
Foot Clan Friday.
All right, it's Foot Clan Friday, a weekly giveaway for a supporter over at jointhefoot.com. This week's item from Pristine Auction, a signed Chris Godwin jersey.
Ooh. Oh, mercy.
Is that what you snagged, Brooks? That's a nice one.
Oh, yeah.
Joe Forte is the winner over at jointhefoot.com.
Congratulations, Joe. Thank you for supporting the show.
You got a Chris Godwin jersey. Which reminds me, we do have a Halloween episode coming up in 1 week, and Brooks has managed to put together a little highlight of our last, 5 years worth of Halloween shows?
Yes, sir.
So that'll be up on Twitter at the FF Ballers today, and brought back some memories, especially that first Halloween.
Oof.
the studio's had some upgrades since then.
I would say that first one... We phoned that in. It was just the beginning. We didn't know what it would become.
That's right. So we've got things planned for next week. You'll definitely want to go to youtube.com/thefantasyfootballers. That is one of the most watched episodes of the year because people want to come in and see. When I saw the highlight film, I still couldn't believe how funny you looked as Jeff Fisher.
That was
your Jeff Fisher was outstanding.
It was. So I would say it was 8-8. It was just okay.
It was a 500.
That's fair. That's a good point.
And speaking of memories, today, fellas, today is National Best Friends Day, as dubbed by me and Jason last year.
October 23rd.
I don't know why I'm here.
So, Footglad, this is just a really funny story. So last year, Andy was out. The show was just Jason and I. Somehow, at some point, I declared... It was National Best Friends Day because we were really playing up that Jason and I were the best of friends on that particular day.
Which you always seem to be when I'm gone.
Yeah, when you're gone, we are best friends.
Yeah.
That is correct. And I said, I'm putting this in my calendar to remind me next year. So this week rolls around. I'm looking at the calendar. Oh, what's going on? And then there's this note. It says October 23rd, Best Friends Day in our work calendar. And I messaged you guys and said, what the heck is this?
You didn't even know what it was.
Guys, what is this? And we're all trying to figure it out. And then we start getting messages on Twitter that's, oh, guys, Best Friends Day is coming up. And I said, what is happening?
We got a package in the mail.
Someone designed a logo of Jason and I with Jay Grizz celebrating.
It's a handsome logo.
Best Friends Day. And I had completely forgotten about it. And so what I have learned, number one, it is National Best Friends Day. Send your best friends some encouraging words. Like, just lift up someone's day. And number two, your words are powerful. Because I just threw something out in jest that I did not remember. But clearly, a lot of people were waiting for this to celebrate such a holiday.
It seems like of all the holidays I should get off, your Best Friends Day should be the one that I get to sit at home. I should have had my coffee on the porch on a rocking chair.
We're sitting on the thrones, but this is, you know, this is for all.
Yeah. Anybody who's my with best friend in this situation?
You're going to have to find one, Andy. We're
you available, Brooks?
Spoken for.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Brooks is available.
There it is. And Owl's left on his own.
I'm sorry, Owl. You probably have somebody somewhere. No?
Nope.
Nope.
No. Okay.
No, who gives a hoot?
Let's talk news.
News and notes from around the league.
All right, we did have a schedule change. The Buccaneers-Raiders game that was originally the Sunday Night Football game, out of an abundance of caution, the NFL moved this game because there remains the possibility that this game is affected by the COVID situation. So it did come out that's the reason they moved it. Mm. They put the Cardinals-Seahawks in the Sunday night spot. And so right now the Buccaneers game's still happening. The Cardinals game's happening, but that is the Sunday night game.
Yeah, all the tests came back great today for the Raiders. So the expectation is game on.
All right. Otherwise, yeah, that's very good news. Otherwise, Michael Thomas. This is a headline for fantasy players. Because he didn't practice on Thursday. He tweaked his hamstring, which violates the code of ethics. You're not allowed to have more than one injury at once. I don't know if you guys knew that.
I was aware. Michael Thomas was not.
Maybe that's the discipline from last week. He two injuries.
Yep.
You're gone. But no, Ian Rappaport, back on Twitter, calling him a long shot to play on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you really did hurt your hamstring, I mean, we saw it with Julio Jones. We saw it with Devontae Adams. You can't play with an injured hamstring. So the fact that he's not practicing and being called a long shot to play, that being said, I would imagine that at this point the fantasy managers have a pivot option because they have not yet had Michael Thomas.
Well, let's go in or out on Michael Thomas. And do you think he plays?
Nope.
No.
Okay, neither do I. Joe Mixon didn't practice again on Thursday. He's not practicing today. Zach Taylor calls him day-to-day. If we're going in and out on Joe Mixon, I am still in. I still believe Joe Mixon will play this week.
Yeah, I lean that they're just giving him rest because it's a problem. But I don't confidently know he's going to play.
And well, Andy, let's talk this real quick. What is your confidence in throwing Joe Mixon into your starting lineup? This isn't ribs. This isn't just I can deal with some pain or I get a shot that hopefully doesn't puncture my lungs and I play through it. This is a foot problem. This actually will affect performance. On top of that, it's a foot injury, so you have a decent probability of re-aggravating and leaving the game.
You know, Joe Mixon's, I believe, leading the league in touches at the running back position. I think I'd like him to make it easy on me, which is, look, if he can't play, just let's declare him out. Let me make a pivot for my fantasy team. If he's active, I'm playing Joe Mixon. That's okay. Just what I'm going to do.
So if you, let's say David Montgomery is a pivot option, would you still play Joe Mixon over David Montgomery?
I do everything I can to play anybody over David Montgomery.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
My confidence is that Joe Mixon will play through. He's played through injury before. So if he's active, I'm playing him. That's just the way I'm going to go about it.
Okay.
Darrell Henderson didn't practice due to a thigh injury. This is unfortunate. It's a Monday night football game.
Goodness gracious,
missing Thursday practice for a Monday night game is basically like missing the Wednesday. So I'm not worried yet.
Are you picking up Cam Akers?
If I've got Henderson, yeah. I mean, you need to be ready to pivot.
I got some terrible news. Al Borland, in desperation, searching for a best friend today because he didn't have one, ending up having to settle for the loser.
Oh, no. What a loser.
That would be Brian Ketron.
Gross.
The illustrious loser of the Listener League from years gone by and still a loser to this day.
Oh, I mean, a lovable loser.
Sure.
Is there a better word than illustrious?
No.
Legitimate.
Legitimate is better than illustrious?
Yes.
No, you were saying the way it sounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
To use.
Yeah.
You just in, I'm just commending Andy on going with the word illustrious.
Which word is more illustrious? Illustrious?
Well, this is not a fair game.
Or legitimate.
Leading the witness. I object.
I'm sorry, Al, but at least you got one.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited.
And you're certainly the better of the two.
Oh, big time.
You always got to choose a best friend that's not quite as good as you.
Yeah. That's
good plan.
Sorry, Brooks.
Good plan. I see what you're doing over there.
I think
there,
we
Jason.
Both know who that is, right, Brooks?
Oh, yeah. I know my role.
All right, here's good news. Jonnu Smith practiced full on Thursday.
That's great.
He should play. But with the Darrell Henderson news, have you lost confidence because of Monday Night Football with Cam Akers, Malcolm Brown, and the variables in the running game?
Not yet.
Okay. We do have an Injury Blitz podcast coming out later this afternoon or tomorrow. Brooks, are those normally coming out late Friday or early Saturday?
Usually getting them out late Friday.
Okay. So that's jointhefoot.com if you want to get in on that. That'll have all the Friday practice reports and some reflections from our injury expert, Matthew Betts, on what to do with some of these players. Jamison Crowder didn't practice. Added to the injury report with a groin injury. Look, if Jamison Crowder misses this game or is limited, Breshad Perriman is an actual player that you could think about.
It sounds like you're talking about the Jets, Andy.
I've
been chastised over and over for talking about the Jets.
Do you agree with me?
Yeah. Breshad Perriman could play. And
maybe.
As of right now, they are expecting Sam Darnold to be there. This is... You never want to see a player midweek get downgraded, and that's what's happened with Crowder. So I think you've got to take that serious and look for other options. Likewise, A.J. Brown for the Titans, he did not practice Wednesday. He did not practice Thursday. That is...
I'm, Is that true? I thought he practiced in full on Wednesday. That's the report that I have, and then didn't practice.
Yes, I'm sorry. Practice in full, but did not practice at all. A full did not participant on Thursday. That's what I'm saying is when you are downgraded midweek, that's usually a very bad sign.
Yes. So didn't practice Wednesday, or did practice Wednesday, didn't practice Thursday.
Correct.
Downgrade.
We got there.
Okay. Robert Tonyan.
Yeah, big news.
We found out this is how you pronounce his last name. It's Tonyan, not Tonyan. It's Tonyan.
Tons
like
of
Paul,
fun.
Like Paul Bunyan.
Yes. Oh, Paul Bunyan.
Our really only opportunity to potentially defeat Gigantor in a battle. Paul Bunyan, while smaller than Gigantor, could compete with the axe that he has.
Well, he has an axe, and does he get his big blue ox?
Bait. That's too much.
Animal warfare? It's too much? It's cheating?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
That's too much.
All right.
That's too much. But he was limited in practice. Did not have a great game. This is a new, you know, he's not been in the rotation for fantasy players before. It gives me a little hesitation.
Sure.
Tyler Higbee, non-participant at Thursday's practice. Higbee has been one of the most recently added players to waiver wires that I've seen. I've seen him hit waiver wires quite a bit.
Yep.
But Gerald Everett, I'm bringing this up because Gerald Everett is a great play if Higbee was to miss this week.
That is a good point.
I would feel much better with Everett than I would Tonyan this week if that was the situation. Any other injury news you guys want to touch on?
Nope.
All right, let's get back into the forecast.
Fantasy forecast.
All right. We covered the Lions, Falcons, Browns, Bengals, Steelers, Titans, Panthers, Saints, Bills, Jets, Cowboys, and Washington yesterday. And we've got seven games remaining. A reminder, the Colts, Dolphins, Vikings, and Ravens are on bye this week. So let's get into the matchups. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 4-2 taking on the Las Vegas Raiders, who are currently 3-2. This game's in Las Vegas. The Buccaneers are 4-point favorites. It's a 52-point over-under. I'm not quite sure what to think of Tampa Bay. I think they are a pretty good team. They have had a couple of games where they don't look that way. And then the majority, they've looked like they're figuring it out. So let's start at the quarterback position. Tampa Bay has been really good. The defensive side of the football. They're third right now. I don't think Derek Carr is an option in this game.
He is not.
They're only giving up 14 fantasy points per game to the quarterback position. On the other side, my taking it to 100 player was Tom Brady this week. The Raiders are 20th against opposing fantasy quarterbacks. And I think they're starting to figure this offense out. We give, you know, Tom Brady maybe we have high expectations for him because he's Tom Brady, right? I mean, he has high expectations for himself. Still learning a new offense, dealing with players coming back from injury. Chris Godwin back last week. So I think that they're going to become more consistent on the offensive side of the ball, and I think it could start in this game here. They're favored. It's a good over-under. Do you guys feel confident enough to start Brady this week?
Yeah, he's certainly in the mix as a streamable option. This isn't a scary matchup. You're getting healthier in the wide receiver core. I really like most of the Tampa Bay options. So I'm absolutely fine starting Brady. The one worry that I would have, and the reason he's not a absolute must start, is that the Raiders are very porous on the ground so far this season against the running back position. Ronald Jones has been looking amazing. The defense of the Buccaneers looks great. So there is the outcome where, and you need to decide what you believe about this game, but I do think there's a game script where Ronald Jones is phenomenal, has another 100-yard game, has two touchdowns, and they don't really need to air it out that much. But the Raiders have not gone quietly into the night. They have beat good teams. They have surprised. They've hit the over in all five of their games this year. So while I see that as an outcome, that isn't what I expect to happen.
Okay, let's look at the running backs. Ronald Jones, you talked about, he's been great. The Raiders at 31st against running backs.
Yes,
must
start. You're playing him despite Fournette practicing in full and any worries that you have. You just got to keep.
He was going to be my start of the week, but I felt like everyone would start him.
He's on fire, right? Three straight weeks.
So just make sure you start him.
Josh Jacobs, he's been pretty great this year coming off the bye. We do have offensive line concerns. The test coming back, I guess that would be coming back negative. That is a positive for Josh Jacobs. But again, the defensive front for Tampa, Josh Jacobs' success is obviously connected to the Raiders winning. And the kind of identity of this team is they want to get out to a lead and they want to be able to run the football. They want to be able to slow the game down a little bit. And Jacobs has been very good, but he's got five touchdowns on the year. They've just come in two of the five games he's played.
Yeah, I mean, we said this before last week that Josh Jacobs has his good games in wins. And we didn't expect him to win the last time out against the Kansas City Chiefs. They did. He had a great game. I don't expect the Raiders to win this game. I think that the Buccaneers are the better team. But if they
don't bench Josh Jacobs.
No, you don't bench anyone with that kind of volume.
All right, Henry Ruggs. What do we think about Henry Ruggs' possibilities in this game? 55% of his targets have been 20-plus yards down the field. That is the highest rate in the NFL. He is the true one-touch man of the NFL right now, based on those numbers. You willing to take a shot, take a chance?
I don't like it this particular week. The Buccaneers, they have some strong corners, including the emergence of Carlton Davis. The Bucs are a legit defense. They have fixed things over here. They are seventh currently against fantasy wide receivers. They can get pressure on the quarterback as well. So this isn't the matchup where I am looking to throw Henry Ruggs into my flex.
All right. I don't remember which one of you guys talked about Mike Evans maybe letting him go, shopping him. Jason, were you the one who brought that up a couple days ago? I think I'm on board with you. He's 29th in targets right now, second in touchdowns. He's tied with Cole Beasley, Travis Fulgham in targets this year.
Yeah, he's been propped up by touchdowns, and he's a guy that can do that the whole season. It's not something where it's like, because he's had touchdowns, they're going to go away, they're going to regress, and you need to get rid of him. We've seen him several seasons with double-digit touchdowns, but you need to understand that in those games he doesn't get a touchdown, he's going to be straight up garbage. And when you compare the games that he has played with Chris Godwin, I mean, he's capping out at two catches. That's not and he's got a big name. So I think you can flip him for something more reliable, more consistent.
Are we going to see the 2019 version of Chris Godwin at some point this year? Is this an opportunity for him this week? I mean, his highest fantasy finish on the year is 22 right now. Dealt with the injuries, has played three games though, and I mean, it's just disappointing right now for fantasy players.
I think that this could be the game he gets on track. He is a game removed now from returning from the injury. Give him a little bit of time there to get more involved.
All right, you're always playing Darren Waller. What about Gronkowski in this matchup?
It's interesting. The matchup isn't great. Raiders are 10th against fantasy wide receivers right now, actually tied with the Buccaneers. But he is getting more involved. He had the touchdown last week. He had another end zone target as well, where Tom Brady just missed. I can't remember if it was Gronk or Brady, but my memory is Brady just missed him for a second touchdown. So while guys like Scotty Miller are fading into the dust, and Gronkowski is starting to get things going, which it's not that shocking that he is doing that now. Like at the beginning of the year, they weren't asking him to do a lot. He was a dude who had not played football in over a year on a brand new team. So the fact
that
you lost O.J. Howard. Yeah, that's an excellent point as well. Now you have more opportunities for him. So it makes sense that he is starting to get more involved.
Over the last four games, his target pace on the year is 94.
That's a great number for a tight end. Yeah, I mean, Gronk is someone that you can start as well as anybody out there off of waivers. Although,
would you play him over Everett if Everett was alone?
No. If Everett was alone, I think he's a smash play.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you saw him jump up to 29% of the targets last week. That's an incredible number.
All right, we've got the Chiefs-Broncos game to get into.
We do, and before that, we want to thank today's sponsor. Ladies and gentlemen, Brewhouse Legends Snack Nut Mixes, brand new sponsor to the show. They're coming to you with the waiver wire pickup that you and your pantry simply can't skip out on. These people know what they're talking about. They know the audience they are speaking
to.
Brewhouse legends sought out a way to bring the passion and creativity of a craft beer brewing to the snack aisle. Spice up your game day with flavors like Michelada, hops and pepper, hop and chili, three unique snack mix flavors that are guaranteed to provide the salty, satisfying crunch you crave. We're all trying to
keep our snack count 100.
You got to keep that snack count 100, but you also got to keep that bod. Keep it tight. Keep it right.
You want to get nuts?
Let's get nuts with Brewhouse Legends snack nut mixes. They're delicious, fellas. Ladies and gentlemen, they are absolutely taking things to a new level with the snack nut mixes. You got to check it out. You can go to brewhouselegends.com/football to find out more details on how you can receive 10% off your purchase of Brewhouse Legends. That's brewhouselegends.com/football. Brewhouse Legends, crafted for Sundays. Take your snack count to 100.
To 100. All right, and we want to thank Pristine Auction for supporting this independent podcast, keeping it going. You've heard us talk about Pristine Auction, and if you haven't taken the time to journey over on the World Wide Web to pristineauction.com, I encourage you to do so. Use the code BALLERS when you sign up over there, which it's free to make an account. They give you a $10 credit that's exclusive to this show. Then you can browse the hundreds of sports memorabilia auctions and find something for your hometown team. You've got Christmas coming up. What kind of gift? I mean, you don't get better than that.
That is correct.
An autographed piece of sports memorabilia for your favorite player. They've got current players. You know what? Devontae Adams signed cleat for $58 this past week. Noah Fant signed jersey, $70. T. Higgins, up and coming, $65. So you can kind of play these current names, the fantasy names. You can even look at some legends. Maybe that's the gift you want to give your father, your mom, somebody who has a fan from, you know, days gone by. You can check that out at pristineauction.com. Like I said, use the code BALLERS.
Old people love gifts.
Old, young, I mean.
I think people like gifts.
People in general.
And they're affordable, so definitely check them out. All right, back into the matchups. The Kansas City Chiefs at 5-1 taking on the 2-3 Denver Broncos.
Breaking news.
So terrifying.
You might want to update your beliefs on Joe Mixon, Andy.
Declared out?
Out. Adam Schefter reporting.
All right, I'm going to officially change my projection for Joe Mixon.
Oh, man.
Actually, no, I'm not, because I said if he's active, play him. And he's not. That's big news.
Yes.
So Gio Bernard
By this time he's been picked up in every league. If he's available in anybody's league, you must pick him up. But he's a great start, I think.
You do?
I do. When you have a backup like Giovanni Bernard coming in, who has proven capable in the past, and they don't really have anybody to share the work. He won't be getting 100%, but a lot of times when those backups come in, they get even more work than the starter got because they are the only capable backup.
Are you ready for Samaje Perine?
I am.
Oh, man, the pain bot?
Oh.
The pain bot plus Travion Williams, maybe?
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe
Travion.
A little bit of both.
Maybe.
Gio hasn't looked spry in a long, long time. So if he doesn't catch the ball, hey, honestly, he's identical to what Boston Scott was yesterday, in my opinion. And that's how I would project them both. I think they're both not great runners, and they're both very capable in the passing game. So that's how I'd look at it.
He is worth a start to me. He jumps up into the running back two area.
Takes on Cleveland. All right. Well, no Mixon instead of Joe Mixon. Mm. That's sad. All right, the Chiefs at 5-1. The Broncos, after the big win over New England last week, the McManus victory. The Chiefs are 9.5-point road favorites in this one, 46-point over-under.
I don't think that strategy is going to work this week.
You know, at the end of the day, they are not going to be able to score enough points. I mean, that's just what it comes down to. The Broncos are not going to be able to score enough points against the Chiefs in this game. Don't worry, no almost upset coming here for Drew Lock and company. Mahomes is 5-0. Versus Denver in his career. It's I don't know, 46-point over-under. That's not a lot. That puts 27 points on the Chiefs' side, 18 on the Broncos' side. Melvin Gordon didn't play last week.
So he's fresh. He's ready to go.
I mean, I guess you're playing Melvin Gordon, but yes, Philip Lindsay looked good.
Of course you are playing Melvin Gordon, but you have to remember back to week one. Philip Lindsay was getting opportunities, so we haven't – unfortunately, we haven't been able to see the true timeshare between Melvin Gordon and Philip Lindsay. Lindsay is going to be he's going to take into the fantasy ceiling of Melvin Gordon. So, yeah, you are playing Gordon, but you aren't getting those couple weeks set of workhorse volume that you were getting while Philip Lindsay was out.
All right. We don't know, on the other side of the ball, whether Le'Veon Bell will make his debut in this game. And if he does, are you willing to take the risk on flexing him? Clyde Edwards-Helaire was outstanding, and the Broncos' defensive front is great against the run.
Yeah, they have been phenomenal against the run. I don't expect Le'Veon Bell, if he is active, to get more than 7 or 8 touches total. And when you're doing that against this great defense in a divisional matchup that, you know, look, I realize that Denver is a team right now that is hurting and the arrow is not pointing up. And of course you're facing the defending Super Bowl champs, but you know, I do think it's going to be a little bit closer of a game. I wouldn't call it my almost upset, 'cause I don't know how Denver really scores a lot.
Well, Noah Fant is back.
Yeah, I mean, having Noah Fant and Melvin Gordon is certainly going to help me better than it was last week.
For what it's worth, in those 5 games that Mahomes has played against Denver, Kansas City's never scored more than 30 points in any of those 5 games.
Interesting.
And the defense for Denver did look good last week. So I don't disagree with you that it could be, you know, lower scoring, which will make it closer, but I just don't know if the Broncos can keep up.
It's supposed to be a very cold weather game in the 20s. If it were to drop a few more degrees, that's where you start to see fantasy actually take a turn and go into the running game and away from the passing game once it gets, you know, below the 20s. Right now it's projected to be 23 degrees.
All right. It's 93 degrees out here in Arizona right now. But Lev Bell, not worthy of, you know, we'll see if he takes away from Clyde on third downs, goal line. It's almost, you know, if Bell's active, we're all observing what this backfield breakdown is going to be.
If he's active, I'm still starting Clyde Edwards-Helaire the way I would be starting him otherwise.
All right. I've been defending Tim Patrick. We've got Tim Patrick and Jerry Jeudy. Tim Patrick, 80% snap count compared to 69% for Judge Jeudy.
Nice.
Red zone touchdowns. Patrick has 2, none for Jeudy. Top 36 weeks. Patrick has 3. Jeudy has 1. Target shares are similar. Jeudy is slightly ahead.
Over the last 2 weeks, Tim Patrick is averaging a 27% target share, though, which is super nice. The question, though, for Tim Patrick is, what happens now that Noah Fant is back?
I don't think anything.
You think he'll still be that involved? Because Noah Fant has been out is it 2 weeks or has he missed 3?
I mean, they heavily targeted the tight end position last week without Noah Fant.
Yeah, I guess that's right. Albert O.
Yeah.
Showed up.
They involved him. So I don't think anything really changes there. But
so are you playing, let's just go within this game, Tim Patrick as your fringe flex upside play, or DeMarcus Robinson from Kansas City, who was on the field a ton. We all hoped that Mecole Hardman would be the one who got on the field more, take things up with opportunities. But DeMarcus Robinson, 34 routes run last week. He was involved. So between those two guys, where are you going? I know the production has been with Patrick the last couple of weeks, getting over that hundo.
That's where I'm going.
But in this match, are you going with Patrick?
Yeah, I would go with Patrick. I mean, game script, they're going to have to throw the football. Patrick has been great. Him and Jeudy, I don't look at them very differently from one another as a spot start, but Patrick, 2 straight weeks of over 100.
Jason, Tim Patrick or Jerry Jeudy?
Jerry Jeudy.
Why?
Because I love him. I think he's... I think he's great. We've got one game back from the injury with Drew Lock. It was against the New England Patriots, where they're shutting down the number one option, and they saw Jeudy as the number one option, regardless of what we saw. They let Tim Patrick beat him. Now
they didn't let Tim Patrick beat him. He beat him.
The Steelers didn't let
Travis Fulgham beat him. He beat him.
Sure, but I'm saying they focused their energy on Jerry Jeudy.
Okay. I mean, I can't really argue with because I love him, so I'll let it go.
Look, I like the honesty.
Yeah, sure. I mean, Jerry Jeudy has one game all year where you were happy you started him. It was because of a bomb touchdown pass. But would you play Tim Patrick over DeMarcus Robinson?
Yes.
Okay. Travis Kelce, yep. Noah Fant should be back, full practice.
And I'm playing him.
Yeah, your confidence in Noah Fant is, I feel like I had it on in the offseason, but you have exceeded.
I stole it.
You have exceeded us at this
Shang Tsung, I've stolen your soul.
See, I thought Albert O looked good last week.
He did.
As well.
Albert O is banged up. Yep. Yeah. He. The report is that he's on track to play, but you combine that with Noah Fant is the guy. He's the main tight end for this team.
Okay. The San Francisco 49ers at 3-3 take on the 2-3 New England Patriots this week. Patriots are 2-point home favorites against the 49ers. This game has a minuscule 43.5-point over-under. Got a couple of defenses. San Francisco took such a movement forward on that defensive side of the ball last week, getting back Mosley. It changed a lot for what they were able to do because they had been kind of beat up over the past few weeks. New England's passing game hasn't looked great. I think that, you know, this line, the 43.5, really limits what we're going to see fantasy-wise in this game, and I wouldn't be surprised if this is a lower, like, I would take the under, I think, in this matchup.
Yeah, I completely agree. You have two great defenses. You have two of the teams with the slowest pace of play. These are teams that run the ball. One does it with their quarterback. The other does it with a slew of running backs, and you know, with Raheem Mostert being out of the game, I don't expect the San Francisco 49ers run game to be anywhere near as effective. So, yeah, this projects to be a low-scoring, poor fantasy output game. If you wanted to pivot off of Cam, this would be the type of game that you would want to do that. I still think he's somewhat safe because of his rushing floor. But, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo can have big games and bad games. This does not appear to be a Jimmy Garoppolo game.
So if your confidence in the run game is a little hesitant on this matchup, what about the confidence in their alternate run game, which is where they just throw the ball backwards to guys like Debo and Brandon Ayukin?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's
gonna playing Debo?
No, I'm not playing Debo. I'm not playing Ayukin. I'm not Ayuk out. for this game, I don't want the passing game or the running game. I know we've talked a lot about Jerick McKinnon and whether we believe he will get the work. What is Jeff Wilson going to be active? If he is, will Jamichael Hasty be involved? At the end of the day, all the arguments for or against McKinnon, the four arguments still have a low ceiling in this matchup. I am on the McKinnon side, but I don't expect a phenomenal game this week in this matchup.
Yeah, I'm not excited about many of the options in this one. I would play Debo Samuel. I'd be willing to play him. I know he's going to have 6 to 8 opportunities. George Kittle, of course. But I can't find anybody on the New England side that I want to start.
No, I mean, White in a pinch, because if you're in a PPR league, you can get 10 points.
Can I unstart Devonta Freeman from last night and put like James White in? Because it's got to be better.
It will be better. The difficulty with White and Harris, it's game script. Pick which one's going to happen. Do you think the Patriots will be up? Then Damien Harris is going to see a bunch of opportunities. If they're down, it's James White. And this is a tricky one to project.
Can we add a Thursday night whoops situation?
A mulligan?
Like in our league? So like if you start somebody on Thursday and then they lay an egg, you can change them out so you're not depressed going into the weekend?
I don't think you can do that with a Thursday game. But you could make a universal rule where every team gets one
whoopsie.
Bench whoopsie. That would be a fun rule to me. Like I wouldn't want it in, you know, our league of record, but if you're playing in a fun league where you get one mulligan every week on a start-sit decision.
I can't believe we never even talked about Evan Ingram's disaster of a
That's
game.
True.
Mike, I've been keeping you in a good mood. I'm sorry to bring
up. No. I figured out what happened with Evan Ingram because they've just been throwing him these low average depth of targets. I have, like, just absolutely mismanaging Evan Ingram. Was running deep, was open because he's a super athletic tight end who can get open against that type of coverage. and he dropped a pass.
That would have won the game.
It would have won the game. I think Evan Engram was just so surprised that he actually received that target
downfield
that he just wasn't prepared to catch the ball.
So we're back to apologizing for him.
That's right.
Oh, God.
That's right.
Oh, Jason, I know what you were feeling when you saw that play.
Jason just hates Evan Engram because he drafted him.
No, no. I hated Evan Engram prior to drafting him. And I mean, I stupidly drafted him, and I quickly got out. I mean, he hasn't hurt my fantasy roster at all this year because I realized what a mistake I made early on and said, not this time. It never happened.
Jacksonville at 1-5, the Los Angeles Chargers at 1-4, Chargers 7.5-point favorites in this one, a 49-point over under. I find that line a little bit interesting. It seems maybe a bit excessive.
I'm excited for this game.
Yeah, it should be a fun one. We've talked about a lot of the players in this one, from Justin Jackson to DJ Chark, Hunter Henry.
I mean, now that Ryan Fitzpatrick...
Hunter Dragon Rider.
Yeah, that's exactly... I actually went from Viking to, like, How to Train a Dragon real quick. Like, that's my exposure to... I mean, those are like Vikings, right?
Yeah, they wear
they're
the
just dragon
Vikings.
Helmet. Yeah, okay.
Absolutely. I
climb aboard, Hunter.
Now that Ryan Fitzpatrick is no longer a starter, this is like your two favorite quarterbacks in the league. You're all about that Herbert life right now.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you're always going to be on Team Minshew.
This is more than just because I love him. I mean, Justin Herbert, 300 yards or multiple touchdowns in 4 of 5 games.
Yeah, including two incredibly tough road matchups with Tampa Bay and the Saints.
And what's insane is, as a rookie, he's doing this on third downs. His third down passing touchdowns, yards per completion, 74% completion rate on third down. They're leading the NFL as a rookie. It's incredible.
Yeah, and I like what the coaching staff is doing. They're trusting him. They're not just it's 3rd and 12 draw play. Let's let him throw the ball down the field because we have Keenan Allen. We have Mike Williams. We have players that can compete
Hunter,
at the point of the catch.
Dragon Rider.
We have Hunter. Throw to Hunter.
But
I love Mike Williams' opportunity in this game.
Imagine your catch radius if you could be on a dragon.
It would increase.
I don't think the dragon can catch.
No, the dragon doesn't have to catch, Jason. I'm riding the dragon. Do you think the dragon's riding me?
I think that if someone threw you the ball behind you while you're flying in one direction, you're not going to catch that ball just because you're on a dragon.
I'm just saying it's vertical.
Vertical catcher.
Yeah.
Okay. What?
Sorry. Right. I've derailed us.
We haven't really spent a lot of time on dragon catch radii. Radii? Yeah.
Yep.
Justin Jackson, my start of the week at the running back position. He was limited in practice on Thursday, which makes me feel a little uncomfortable. But if he's out there, he's the better player.
So with him being limited and the matchup still being, you know, solid, the Jacksonville Jaguars are 27th against fantasy running backs right now. Is Joshua Kelly move into more of a stronger flex consideration?
Yes.
Okay.
Assuming Jackson is limited again today, he would.
All right.
Keenan Allen. You start him. Mike Williams, I think you should. He is undervalued right now. I know that he has an extreme kind of range of outcomes historically, but what more do you like? I mean, he's got a great matchup in this game. He's coming off a great game. He seems to be a better target for what Justin Herbert's gifts seem to be.
Jason, Mike Williams or Jerry Jeudy?
Mike Williams. The range of outcomes is, obviously, as Andy just said, they're very wide. He could be the wide receiver 4 on a week or the wide receiver 104. But that's the role that he plays, and there are always fantasy options. Years past, it was Marvin Jones, where you need a big-time performance. You put that type of a player in your lineup. There's not a lot of guys that can walk away with the upside that Mike Williams has, and with Justin Herbert throwing an absolute beautiful deep ball. I really like what Mike Williams has been doing with him.
Yeah, and this is very much like a Minnesota situation from last year where it's like the ball's going to Thielen or Diggs. I mean, the ball's going to Mike Williams or it's going to Keenan Allen. And when Williams was out there in week 1, he had a 30% target share. Last week, I know Allen got hurt. It was 24%. those are the two players that are going to get the ball. And then the question is, you know, Mike, you've talked about Gardner. You like Gardner this week. DJ Chark being back, it raises Gardner's ceiling. This game should be competitive. It should be a game that isn't, you know, the Patriots game at a 43-point over-under. I think we get to that 49-50 points or more, and we need it to. I mean, if you want Herbert to throw the football, you need Jacksonville to do its job.
Right.
James Robinson, you've been playing him?
Yeah, he's a weekly start.
Chark, Jason's start of the week. So, yep. And then are you taking a shot with any other deeper, you know, if this game is, if Gardner's going to be good, do you take a shot with Chenault or Cole?
I think you can. If you project this game to be back and forth and Gardner to have a good game, they've had fantasy relevant weeks, and you would, you know, there's certainly players that you could find that are not as good as Keelan Cole and Chenault from what they've been producing. I would also throw out James O'Shaughnessy as a, if you are really struggling at tight end, you have just garbage in there. I know it's a name you probably aren't familiar with, but Tyler Eifert might miss. The matchup is great, and I could, you know, we talk about those rando waiver wire pickup tight ends that have the highest chance of touchdowns, and maybe this is more for a DFS type of pick. I know that our DFS pod with the Borgogan, they like James O'Shaughnessy as that DFS punt play of the week, so you might want to throw him in the lineup.
Yeah, it's who I used when I did the cage match with Smiz. I used O'Shaughnessy to afford some bigger players because he is like 2,600.
It's sure free.
Sunday Night Football, the Cardinals are at home taking on the Seattle Seahawks.
Off a bye.
Who are 5-0. And the Cardinals get to play primetime a couple weeks in a row here. 56-point over-under. Seahawks 3.5-point road favorites. I think that we're going to see some fireworks in this ball game.
That's fun.
Which is great for fantasy because you're playing Kyler, you're playing Russell, you're playing Carson, and I think you're playing Kenyon Drake. The opportunities, they've been there, and his production has been there in several games. So, you know, whether he's the butt of jokes or not, I don't know if you heard his mom. His mom, you know, weighed in and had the same thoughts we did. You're running side to side too much, Kenyon. You should go towards the end zone.
It's a good piece of advice.
Yeah. If Daniel Jones' mom had called in, she would have said, finish the run. Finish the run.
She would have said, slow down.
He could have, too. That's the worst part. He ran so fast. He had a nice lead. He could have slowed down.
Do you think he thought he could start skipping? And then he was like, I don't know how to skip. Oh, no, I've made a bad mistake.
I wish he just committed to the roll. Because if you fall and you roll, he could have rolled all the way into the end zone.
Before
he was touched, just roll.
I think he was.
That would have been the coolest touchdown of all time. Just somersaulting.
Like a judo roll?
Yeah.
He could have somersaulted and got back up.
I think he was pretty surprised of how open the run actually was.
Yeah, that was special.
We've all outrun our legs before.
That is accurate.
It's not a fun feeling.
No. And for days. You're going to be sore for days.
Yes.
All right. Hopkins didn't practice Wednesday and Thursday. I think a lot – this was one we could have brought up in news. We'll bring it up now. It's the ankle injury. He has – he had three straight do not practices before suiting up in week four. It's the Sunday night game, and they played Monday.
Oof.
They played Monday night. So you knew he was going to get some time off after the Monday night game.
Doesn't worry me in the slightest.
Yeah, I'll say this. I mean, as a Hopkins manager, I added – an insurance policy to my bench today.
Was it Kirk?
It wasn't because Kirk wasn't available. It was Andy Isabella.
Okay.
Just an emergency, what happens at the last minute. You know, Hopkins getting this game flexed out gets a few more hours out of it. I don't imagine he's going to miss a primetime game when we have the precedent that he's played without practicing. Do you guys have any other expectations?
No, I think you just laid it out great. This injury, he didn't practice last week, played, and then he's not practicing. He's going to play.
Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, they're in your lineup. There's really not a lot to kind of debate in this matchup outside of maybe Kirk being a flex play.
That's the question, is should people put Kirk in your lineup? Or do you feel like you're chasing points, or have they finally got it together? This is a game with a very high over-under. Seattle has been giving it up to wide receivers. I think Christian Kirk projects as a pretty decent play. And if you look at, you know, some of the other options we've been talking about, LaVisca Chenault, Keelan Cole, I would rather play the matchup here with Christian Kirk as the wide receiver two with a somewhat hobbled or, you know, limited DeAndre Hopkins against Seattle than I would play LaVisca or Keenan Cole.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, Kirk had the big play last week. They didn't have to complete a lot of passes. Yeah, he seems like he's healthy.
You still have to get the big play. I mean, his usage is just, it's not at a level that you want. So the 13% of the targets against Dallas, his high on the year is the 19% against the Jets. So I feel like Kirk is, he's a siren this week, and I'm not going to crash my boat into the rocks.
Well said.
Look, people stop by for the mythological jokes.
If you drop a mythological kind of metaphor, I am willing to, I won't fight back against
all
it.
Right.
It wins.
I didn't realize
if you had
gone mythological, Jason, with your Jerry Jeudy take,
it would have been far better.
I would have totally.
Well, I mean, that wasn't a joke. That was a metaphor. It was beautiful.
Well, like when I saw Jerry Jeudy's like fantasy finishes, it was like a Medusa situation.
Oof.
I had to look away or turn to stone.
Mm-hmm. I get
I'm just staring at him because I want to see what his.
I mean, well, look, you know, when Hercules was a baby.
There we go.
Yeah, you saw the talent, but he couldn't realize it yet. He still had to grow up. He was a young man. But once he was, you know, older, then he dominated.
Hercules. All right. You're not messing around with tight ends in this game, are you?
No.
All right. That's one bit of advice there. The Bears 5-1 taking on the Rams Monday Night Football. Rams are 4-2. The Bears just keep winning football games. The Rams.
Ha!
The Bears are a good team.
I know they are.
They really are a good team with a poor quarterback, whoever it is, leading the way.
Yeah. And the Rams have had a good season so far as well, 4-2. They are favored by 5.5 at home in this game.
Nick Foles' revenge.
It's a 45-point over-under.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Your eyes are telling me something.
You know what?
No.
Yeah.
Andy's Almost Upset of the Week.
I didn't know if we'd have one this week, but 5.5, that's too much here.
I actually agree with you.
And if Daryl Henderson is beat up, hurt in the running game, everything's been predicated on that success. But I think Malcolm Brown against the Bears defensive front is going to set up the passing game that hasn't really existed this year?
Nope.
No, I don't. So I'm not playing Jared Goff.
How surprised were you last week at how the Rams, who had looked so good, were getting drubbed by San Francisco? San Francisco just completely dominating both sides of the ball in that game. And that boring, boring game. And that's when I came to realize, like, three of their previous four games were against the NFC East. They played Philadelphia, New York, Washington. I think that they might not be as good as they looked in that, you know, previous month. And the 49ers sort of exposed them. So I like this Almost Upset.
All right, Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, you've been playing them. You'll keep playing them. Tyler Higbee, I think he's out of lineups at this point. Gerald Everett could be that surprise start if Higbee's inactive, even if he's not. I mean, if he's questionable, the amount of blocking he's done, if you need a dart throw at tight end, I don't think Everett's the end of the world here in a game where Henderson could be banged up, the running game might not be productive. The one place that the Bears have been more vulnerable is against the tight end position.
I made the choice last night in our Dynasty League. I benched Evan Engram for Gerald Everett.
How you feel about that?
TBD. After that drop.
Oh, I know.
Felt a little bit better. If he would have caught that pass, I would feel pretty bad.
Yep. Yeah, it's funny how one play, right? I mean, it defines the entire perception of the game. Evan Engram catches that ball. What is that, a 25-yard catch? Probably runs a little bit with it afterwards.
He certainly would have.
Boston Scott catches that one pass.
I know. Mm. Well, it's funny. We were talking before about the Boston Scott catch. He does that in the first quarter. You know, you're not happy as an opposing fantasy manager, but it's like, okay, it happened in the beginning of the game. Somehow with the clock running out, you're like, it seems less fair.
Well, it's because of the call of saying that you don't expect a big game, and then you're right, you're right, you're right, you're right, you're right.
You're wrong.
Yeah. You're flat wrong.
All right, David Montgomery is a running back. He plays football for the Bears, and he does get 18.3 opportunities per game. The Rams giving up the fourth highest run success rate, which he'll need.
Yeah.
But again, this is...
He's an okay play every week. We don't need to talk about the matchup. It doesn't matter whether he plays a really weak defense, a really strong defense. He's the type of player that gets a ton of volume and does the same thing with it every week, which is falls forward for a couple of yards, catches a few balls, and finishes. You know, if you look at his consistency on the season, you know, he was 15th. He was the running back 15 2 weeks ago. He was the running back 14 last week. Maybe it's a little bit lower in this game. Maybe he's, you know, the running back 20, but he is a solid fantasy RB2 or someone you could plug in your flex.
Since the Tariq Cohen injury, he is averaging nearly 5 receptions a game. He's safe. It's not fun. It's not a delight to plug David Montgomery into your lineup, but you just have to do it.
Yeah, the catches are necessary due to the 3 yards per carry over the last 4 games.
It was in last week 24 opportunities. That was by far the most he's received this season.
Yeah, it's just a matter of can they get ahead in this game.
He's a perfect like icon to represent the Bears, because he's not good, but he's
pretty good.
But he's good enough for fantasy. It is like the Bears are like, man, they're not a great team.
Wait,
but they're winning all their games, so they're solid.
Jimmy Graham, red zone looks coming his way each and every week. Allen Robinson, yeah, you're playing him. Otherwise, I think that wraps it up.
It does.
Prop It Like It's Hot, presented by Monkey Knife Fight.
We have to have Jason kick it off.
Though. Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm going to start with David Montgomery and his prop of, let's see here, 57.5 rushing yards. Now, we said, you're going to have him in your lineup. You're going to start him. He's going to be okay. But it's not going to come from rushing yards, because he's not very good at rushing yards. Over the last 4 weeks, here are his totals.
He's not good at rushing yards?
Yeah. It you know, his grammar is inconsequential when you're talking about David Montgomery. He had 45 rushing yards, 27 rushing yards, 29 rushing yards, and 58 rushing yards. So this is someone that is not getting very close to this line. I don't think he is good enough against this Rams defense. I am taking less than 57.5 rushing yards.
All right, I'm going Matthew Stafford more than 301 passing yards. That's where the line is. Atlanta has given up 300 yards to opposing quarterbacks. Let me do the math. Beep, 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 beep. 100% of the time.
Mm.
Every game. 300 or more. So... I have been very bullish on Matthew Stafford and Kenny Golladay this week. Stafford gets it done, more than 301 passing yards.
And I'm going, surprise, surprise.
Oh, my.
Look, I'm going Kyle Allen. His more or less is 242 yards, and I'm taking the more. He's playing the Dallas Cowboys. This is Kyle Allen. He hit 280 passing yards last week against the Giants, and the Cowboys, They're friendly against the passing game. I expect the Dallas Cowboys to have a much better performance this week, driving Kyle Allen to have to throw the ball more, and I think he can pass that 242.
All right, these props have been very fun this year, and you can check them out. Monkey Knife Fight has tons of these more or less props. We break them down every week. If you want to play, go to ballerspicks.com, use the code BALLERS. They give you 100% deposit match up to $50. That's ballerspicks.com if you want to play along. It's a lot of fun.
It's fun, man. It's a good Enhance time. The weekend.
Enhance. All right. That'll do it for today's episode of the show. A reminder, Mike will be live 1 hour before kickoff. Check it out. He'll help you out. No Joe Mixon, huh?
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @theFFBallers.
Do not forget, Brewhouse Legends Snack Nut Mixes has crafted three unique snack mix flavors that provide the salty, satisfying crunch you crave. Make the right decision with your Sunday snack lineup and relegate that boring snack mix to your bench. It's time to start the new guy. Go to brewhouselegends.com/football to find more details on how to receive 10% off your purchase of Brewhouse Legends.